Well, good morning. Apologies to Andrew because I have this sermon and I was going to preach it, and he's like, "That's a sermon I was going to preach later this month." But you know, last time you asked me what sermon I was going to do, I said Philippians 2, and he goes, "I've already done that one." So and I guess so. Anyway, so we're all here today, and it's amazing that God has all brought us here. God loves us so much, and we're worth so much to him that he sent his only son to die on the cross for us. That's how much God loves us. And you know, we ought to encourage one another to share with one another all the good things that we see in them and we see that God doing in them. In our world, sometimes just for humor, people make fun of other people. I remember at college one time, there was a comedian that came in and he had this thing going on and he was okay. He had one joke about college toilets that we thought was pretty funny. But then there was a girl named Kristen, a really pretty girl, but she spent a ton of time on her hair. And she had this almost like a helmet thing with a lot of stuff. I asked my wife, "How long do you think that would take for her hair every day?" And she's like, "An hour and a half to 2 hours to do her hair." Anyway, so this comedian saw this girl and started ragging on her about her hair type thing, trying to make it funny type thing. And a bunch of us thought, "This isn't funny at all." And we got up and we walked out and he's like, so anyways, we want to encourage people with what God has done for us. And so I want to share with you about a guy who was an encourager. Let's have a word of prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your love for us, that you actually came to be with us, to live with us, to die for us. And Lord, we're worth so much to you. And yet, Lord, there are so many people around us who are hurting and need a touch from you. Lord, I ask that you would help us to be an encouragement to them. Help me, Lord, as I speak today, that what I would say would be words from you that might touch people's lives to encourage them to go out and be a servant of yours. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now this illustration, it was kind of interesting. We've been cleaning out our garage and I was going through some of my books from college and I came across a notebook that I had. And Tony Campolo, I don't know if you guys know him, but he's a nationally recognized speaker. He came to our college and he was speaking. And I remember this one illustration hit me so hard that I went back and I got the tape of the chapel. And so I could write down the story. And then I guess later on, Paul Harvey did it on the radio as well. So this is a story that, you know, from way back. Miss Thompson was a fifth grade teacher. She would start every year by telling her kids, "I don't have any favorites. I love you all the same." And she meant it. And yet there was this one boy that came into her class one year. His name was Teddy Stoddard. He smelled musty. He usually wore dirty clothes that were wrinkled. He sat in the classroom with his mouth gaping open. Whenever she would ask him a question, it would be, "Yeah, nah." And then she found when she was grading his papers, she almost enjoyed putting those X's on the paper. And on the top of the paper, when she wrote the F, it was like with a flare. And she got to the end of the first quarter and she was doing the grades for the grade card. And she thought, let me read about his records. First grade, "Teddy's a good boy. He seems very smart and shows promise, but he has troubles at home." Second grade, "Teddy's a good boy. He works hard, but he's deeply troubled because his mother is terminally ill." Third grade, "Teddy is too serious. He's deeply troubled and is falling behind. His mother died this year. His father doesn't seem to help much, and he shows little interest in the boy." Fourth grade, "Teddy is a deeply troubled boy. He may flunk out this year unless something happens." Miss Thompson started crying. She thought about her attitude that she had had with him. And she changed the attitude. She started encouraging him. She started smiling at him. At Christmas time, the kids came in and they brought presents. And Teddy had a present that was wrapped in brown paper, and he gave it to her. And she opened it up, and it was a rhinestone bracelet and half a bottle of perfume. And some of the kids started laughing, and she went and put the bracelet on, and she sprayed the perfume on and said to the class, "Doesn't it look lovely?" And the class took the cue and said, "Yes, yes, it does." Well, all the rest of the classmates left the room, and Teddy stayed behind. He went up and said, "Miss Thompson, my mom's bracelet looks beautiful on you, and you smell like her too." So he finished the year with her and did fairly well. 4 years later, she got a note. "I did really good in eighth grade. You can come to my graduation." She did, and she smiled when Teddy got his certificate. 4 years later, she got another note. "I'm graduating from high school, second in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. Can you come to my graduation?" And she did. 4 years later, she got another note. "Graduating from college, I'm the valedictorian. Can you come to my graduation?" And she did. 4 years later, another note. "Miss Thompson, I'm now Theodore Stoddard, MD. Getting married in 2 months. Can you come and sit where my mother would have sat? Daddy died last year. You're the only family I have." So she went and sat where his mom would have sat. What it took was encouragement for this boy to change his life. Today we're going to look at an early Christian leader who was first called an apostle by Paul. He was one that was trusted by the disciples. He was one of the early ministers, but he was not one of Jesus' 12. He was a Levite from Cyprus named Joseph. You haven't heard of a guy named Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus? It's because the apostles saw what he was like, and probably because there's too many Josephs already, they called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. We're first introduced to him in Acts 4:36, when he's specifically mentioned as one who had sold a lot of land and brought it to the apostles and gave money to the apostles. Now, either it was a very significant gift for the church, or Luke thought, you know what, I should honor Barnabas by just relaying the story about when he sold that field and he brought the money, because Luke had already had worked with Barnabas as well. We're going to look at two of the men that Barnabas touched. These two men that he helped to train and encourage wrote at least 14 books of the New Testament. First of all, there was Saul. My first point, Barnabas saw Saul as a diamond in the rough. Now, we know about Saul. Saul is the guy who ended up becoming Paul, because Saul is a Jewish name and Paul is a name that works well with the Greeks. And Saul was one of those guys who he had come from Tarsus to Jerusalem to train under Gamaliel, and he became a Pharisee. And he was just a zealous man for God. So much so that when this new sect of Judaism called, you know, that followed Jesus came out, he wanted to stomp it down. And he was the guy who was able to get people around Stephen and have Stephen stoned. And then he was going to go to Damascus, because he found that Christians had traveled to Damascus. And so he got some people. He was going to Damascus. He was going to get those Christians. And on the road of Damascus, Jesus appeared to him and he said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he's like, who are you? And he's like, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." And he became blind. He went in Damascus. Guy came and talked to him. Ananias came and talked to him about Jesus, and he became a Christian. And in Damascus, he started preaching about Jesus until people started wanting to kill him. And so he left there and he came back to Jerusalem. Now, he got back to Jerusalem and he thought, you know what? I'd like to go see these disciples of Jesus. I'd like to see them and talk with them and just be part of the church. And they really didn't want to have anything to do with him. Now, Barnabas heard about this and he's like, you know, let me check this guy out. So maybe he went and talked to some of those people who were with him on the road to Damascus, maybe people who had heard him preaching in Damascus. And then he went and talked to Saul and found out about Saul's heart. And he's like, Saul, I'm going to take you to the rest of the disciples. Acts 9, 26 to 30 talks about this story. When he, Saul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So here Paul was, he was going and preaching about Jesus, and then people wanted to kill him. It seems like everywhere he went, people wanted to kill him. Anyway, so they sent him back to Tarsus, and pretty much that was the last of Saul in Jerusalem for at least a while. Anyway, so something started happening in the church, and people were going out and they were preaching. They were going to different places and finding Jews and helping the Jews come to know Jesus as our Savior. And then some people were like, hey, we should go to Antioch. Antioch's a big city. Let's go. And so they went to Antioch, started a church there, and they decided, you know what? We need to go and send Barnabas. Because, you know, Barnabas is from Cyprus. Obviously, he knows how to deal with Gentiles, and Antioch is a Gentile city. Now, Gentiles are people who are not Jews. So that's kind of, if you don't know what a Gentile is, I'll mention Gentiles a number of times. And so they sent Barnabas there. And this is what it says, Acts 11, 19 to 26. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them about the good news of Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw evidence of the grace of God, and he was glad and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught a great number of people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So it's kind of interesting here. Barnabas goes to Antioch. He's preaching to the people. He's seeing people come to know Jesus as their Savior. The church is growing. And he's like, I need help. I got it. I remember back in Jerusalem when Saul was preaching to the people in Jerusalem, how great he was. And I know he's over in Tarsus. Now, Tarsus wasn't all that far from Antioch, probably a couple days journey. And so he went there. He said to Saul, hey, we need you. We need you in the ministry. Come with us. And so brought him back. And for a year, he was teaching in the church and at Antioch. Now, if we know about Saul had been trained as a Pharisee. He knew the Old Testament and he knew about Jesus, and he had been set aside as one to preach to the Gentiles. And Barnabas used his position as a leader of church of Antioch to go and get Saul and say, hey, we need you. And he was an encouragement to Saul. And this kind of kickstarted Saul's ministry to people. And then one night, Acts 13, 1-5, it says, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them. And after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. So this was the kickstart of the mission, the first missions trip that Paul and Barnabas went on. They went on this missions trip. They went to a whole bunch of different cities. They started church in various cities, and they ministered for several years, winning thousands of people to Christ. And what happened to Saul? Saul became Paul. That was a better Greek name for him. And he went on to write many of the books of the New Testament that we call the epistles. And we know it when they started out, it was Barnabas and Paul. Later on, it became Paul and Barnabas because they switched roles. Paul became the leader. Barnabas became his encourager. And it was because he saw something in Saul that he decided to be an encourager, someone to uplift Saul, who became Paul. But at the end of this, these verses that I just read in Acts 13, it talks about another guy. It says in verse 5, when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. And this was Barnabas's cousin, John Mark. That's my second point. Barnabas saw John Mark as worthy of a second chance. Now, John Mark was the cousin of Barnabas. He lived in Jerusalem, and his house was the one that when Peter was miraculously set free from jail and he went to the place where people were praying, that was John Mark's house. He was young. He probably was brought by Barnabas to Antioch and was ministering there with Barnabas in Antioch. And then they got Saul to work there as well. And then when they went on their missions trip, it was Paul, it was Barnabas, and it was John Mark. But as they were traveling along, John Mark, it said, got homesick and decided that I'm out of here. And he went back to Jerusalem. He left them. Let's look at what it says in Acts 15, 36 to 41. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers in the towns where we preached the word of the Lord to see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. And Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So, Barnabas thought so highly of John Mark that he's like, okay, we got to take John Mark with us. And Paul's like, yeah, we're not doing that. We're leaving him behind. He deserted us. He wimped out the last time he was with us. I'm not going to have him do the same thing again. And Barnabas is like, well, then I will take him. He'll be my partner this time. And Paul's like, okay, I got Silas. And so they actually doubled the missionary teams. And so John Mark left and spent time with Barnabas in ministry. Now, nothing is known about their missionary trips. In fact, this is the last time we hear about Barnabas in the Bible. What we do know is about Mark, because Mark became a person who grew in the faith. He was a leader in the church. He was someone that was very much used of God. He spent time with Barnabas. He spent time with Peter, and he wrote the Gospel of Mark. Now, the Gospel of Mark was also the basis for the book of Luke and the book of Matthew. So here's someone who spent time with Barnabas, who became a church leader. Again, like Saul, spent time with Barnabas and became a church leader. And we know a couple of things about him because of what Paul wrote about Mark later on. 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful in my ministry. So here's Paul in jail saying, okay, I need help. Timothy, go get Mark and bring him to me, will you? He's helpful. And in Colossians 4, verse 10, Paul writes again, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome you. Welcome him. So now Paul is in Rome, and Mark is his hand of ministry in Rome. This guy who was given a second chance by Barnabas that Paul now finds useful. Mark became a leader in the church thanks to the help of his cousin Barnabas, because he was such an encourager. In today's society, we think it's funny to joke about people, make fun of them. A couple of years ago, I thought to myself, you know what? I don't think that's the right thing to do. I want to be an encourager. Now, sometimes I make fun of Becca, you know, because she's easy to make fun of, right, Becca? Yeah. So, anyways, but I want to be an encourager. I want to be someone who lifts other people up. And I hope you guys do too. Today, I want you to think about someone who you can encourage. Is there someone you know that can be a great leader that if given a second chance, they can step forward and be a leader? I thought it was really cool when Andrew Crant came up with this board with all the youth names on it. And it was like the youth board of encouragement. And you guys did a great job of writing notes to the youth of the church, encouraging them. That's something we need to do regularly, is write notes of encouragement. Is there someone that has failed, maybe once, maybe twice, that needs an encouragement to try again? Maybe there's a Teddy Stoddard out there that you know that's been knocked down by life's troubles. Maybe you can be that person to lift them up with your encouragement. God may use you to raise up a great leader for the church because of your encouragement for others. We're going to sing along to a YouTube video called The Blessing, and it'll be up behind us, and it'll have the words, if you'll stand and sing.